Started.
Nope. All right.
Anytime.
Feeling good about it? Ready?
Sure.
Okay. All right, I'll call the November 4th Clean Water Commission meeting to order, starting with roll call. Brendan Addis, Chair present. Christy Dunbar.
Not present.
Michelle Gertz.
Present.
Matthew Jones.
Present.
Marie Lamont.
Present.
Sue Marshall.
Here.
Justin Maynard.
Here.
Michelle Maynard.
Here.
Joshua Sees.
Here.
All right. Next item on the agenda, approving the October 7th special meeting summary minutes. Anybody's had a time to look at that? If there's any corrections anybody would like to make. Not hearing any, would anybody like to move to, unless you're still reading it, anybody would like to move to approve as is?
I move to approve as is.
Your motion to approve as is.
I'll second.
All right. Minutes are approved and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed? My motion passes, so minutes approved. Moving on to public comments. Do you have any public comments submitted for today?
No. I checked at 5 o'clock throughout the day, but also at 5 o'clock tonight, and there was no email or phone messages for comments or any requests to attend the meeting. So no public comment or attendance.
Okay.
I have a question regarding public comments. So are people able to join the meeting and provide orally comments to us?
Yes.
And so, because as I read this the phone number, I wasn't sure if that enables you to join the meeting or if you just call someone and tell them your comments.
Both, actually. The way I have it set up is that they would just call in and either leave a message or they can email, but somebody may not have a computer access, but they can call in to be able to email for some reason. But they can call in and leave a message, and we can relay the information if they don't have computer access. If they would like to attend or give oral, I would just give them an invite. I would send them an invite to the meeting. So that they could have it. Technically, I think the deadline is either the day before or earlier in the day, but I check throughout and I wait until 5 o'clock because if anybody wants to attend, great. I would love to have somebody have the access. The way that the county council and a number of those other meetings are set up, it's more as a the only people who can speak are the participants, us, and we don't necessarily would have anybody super rowdy where that we would need to disable their access to the meeting or something along those lines where that's one of the issues. And so we don't have that problem. Anybody that wanted to attend, we've never had anybody be, at least while I've been here, there may have been back in 10 years ago, there may have been some super aggressive people or very passionate people about their opinion. But we haven't had any of that issues. But I've left it open so that the widest access I can get for somebody to attend, we can. I haven't limited it.
I just wonder if that could be explained. If you would like to provide,
it's on the website that way. It's on the website.
Yeah, I think that would be.
It is. I believe it is. And that's how I have it written up for the public notices that go out to the Columbian. And then I list both the phone number or the email address if somebody just wanted to submit a comment, but if they want to attend. And I think I have it written out, and I will probably try and do some more to make it more outreach, especially where probably the county's moving more towards a team environment, teams environment. So we may be moving these over to a teams, or we may keep the public outfacing meetings stay on WebEx. They haven't made those decisions yet.
Right. I went on the website. It wasn't altogether clear to me, because sometimes I come across people who start complaining about one thing or another, and I've suggested, oh, come to this meeting and you know, share your concern.
All right. I'll work with Eric and...
be inviting.
Sure. I'll work with Eric and Andrea, and we will update the website so that it's clearer that those are options that are available to the public.
That'd be great. That'd be great. Thank you.
Okay. Well, next, I think we're going to move to Clean Water Division Outreach. Eric, if you want to take it away on that one.
Sure. You know, a lot of the same stuff that I kind of talked a little bit about last month. We are wrapping up the Watershed Signs and Outreach campaign. Just had a look at, you know, what our budget looks like for Q4, which will be the last quarter of the project. So we may end up ordering a few extra signs. I got to get in touch with the Lower Columbia Fish Recovery Board about that. There's a few signs that I've noticed around, a few of the old signs that I've noticed around town. That just, you know, we didn't have a real great inventory of all these signs to begin with, which was an important part of this project. And lo and behold, sometimes when you're driving around, you find one. And it's like, okay, well, put that on the list. I'm looking to do that. I'm feeling good about reaching our deliverables for outreach and some of the metrics we had for that. And just been promoting the story map to schools quite a bit. I gave a presentation to the Student Watershed Monitoring Network teacher kickoff. Showed them around the story map a little bit and gave them some of the questions that I had developed for an earlier activity to get people engaged and looking around, exploring their watershed that way. And that got some interest in some of the teachers. And actually tomorrow I'm going to be presenting on Zoom to a couple of classes at Odyssey Middle School using the story map. So I'm looking forward to that, just getting teachers and students and schools to use that tool. Feels good. And then kind of go along with that, too, actually, where we've been meeting a little bit on the next stream health report, which we're targeting to have done sometime in the first half of next year. We were hoping to have it done this year, but COVID happened and just kind of pushed things back a little bit. And so we're talking about how we can incorporate the stream health report this year right into that existing story map. Just working with the monitoring team, and it just feels good to be able to kind of collaborate with some other folks in clean water a little bit more than maybe we have been, just because of COVID and we're not really in the same office. It's so easy, and you guys might experience this in your work life. It's much easier to not, you know, reach out when you're not sitting right next to somebody or sitting across the hall from them. So it's good that we're making that effort and partnering on the Stream Health Report stuff and hopefully incorporating it into the story map. We're keep chugging away at the stormwater facility resources. Going to get those aiming to get the videos done by the end of the year, so I've got about 95% of the remaining kind of shots that I needed to get in the past couple weeks. So it's just about getting that over to CVTV and having them edit it. Obviously, that's been a little bit of a challenge because the person that started the project at CVTV passed it off to somebody else, and they're not able to meet in person at all. I was really hoping to be able to just stand over one of their shoulders and, you know, help talk through some of the editing ideas that I had, but I'll just have to put it in a super duper long email instead, or spreadsheet. We're chugging along also with our MPDS behavioral change camp project, which is going to be to reevaluate and improve our pet waste campaign, which is our Canines for Clean Water program. And so we're just right now signing a contract with a vendor that we chose, Consumer Opinion Services, to conduct some focus group research on two of our target audiences, and one of them is female dog owners, residents in Clark County, and the other is reaching out to the female dog owners that identify with the Latinx community to get some of their inputs on, some of our existing materials and some different campaign ideas and some messaging and some impact statements that they respond with. We've also looked a lot at some of the research that's been conducted, which is quite extensive, in some of the Puget Sound areas. They have a little bit more survey data that we're able to kind of lean on and didn't feel like we had to replicate. But in order to kind of test some of our campaign ideas, we felt it was important and really wanted to get some focus group feedback and research. So we're looking forward to getting that going, and real excited working with that vendor. We haven't worked with them before, but I think it's going to be a good fit for us. And finally, we've got the Stormwater Partners Symposium coming up next Thursday. It starts at 2 o'clock. I think some of you have already indicated that you will be joining. You don't have to attend the whole thing if you don't want. We will have a talk on talking about stormwater, talking stormwater, which Heather Trim from Zero Waste Washington and Betsy Adams from the city of Kirkland are going to be sharing some of the findings that they did when they basically, I think they were doing a survey, or I think it was a survey where they were asking people about what stormwater words they kind of understand and what resonates with them, which, as you may or may not have realized in your line of work, you know, a lot of folks aren't that familiar with terms like flow control, and even words like stormwater sometimes can be a bit of a misnomer in out there. So it'll be interesting to hear that talk, and then we'll also be hearing from about six or seven other stormwater partners, just kind of updates about some of the programs that they've been doing throughout the county and in the time of COVID, and that includes the Backyard Habitat Certification Program. Jackie Caldwell from the City of Vancouver is going to give an update on the KPTV project that we've been doing. there's a couple others. Not looking at the agenda right now, but there's a few other folks that are going to be just sharing some updates, and so I think I invited all of you, so like I said, it's not too late to jump in for part of it or any of it, and so that's how that'll be going. I think that's what I've got for outreach. That's what's been keeping me busy for the past few months.
Eric, to confirm, that's on Thursday the 12th, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Didn't want to miss that one, too.
Okay.
I also have a question for you. With the surveys that they're doing, with the sample groups, are they finding folks that have voluntarily approached to do this, or do you perhaps have some type of awareness or interest in this Canines Clean Water bit, or are they kind of randomly trying to hit, a portion of the population that might otherwise not be thinking about it at all?
Yeah, so we are trying to get a mix, and we're trying to not, you know, pick people that have already, firmly decided one way or another. We're going to try to keep the outliers there, you know, the people that are just... So what they do is they do a screening process, and this company, Consumer Opinion Services, they actually started as a data company. Like, you know, he kind of gives his elevator speeches, you know, this company started by my grandma or by his mother, I mean, on their kitchen table. They started as a data company, and so they amassed this database, and they can use that to pick, to get contacts for people to even select them, and then they interview them with these screening questions, which we'll be reviewing starting tomorrow, to be able to, you know, get a good random sample without people that are going to say, no, I'm never going to pick up my dog waste, and I don't even care what anybody says. And also the people that are like, yes, everybody should always pick up their dog waste. I always do it, and I can't stand the people that don't. We want to try to get in the middle and get a good representation. And that even pertains to, you know, where people live, whether they're living in multifamily residences or in rural areas, from like 1-acre lots or even urban lots too. So we really want to get a good mix there, to get a good, you know, diverse representation of opinions and feelings about the topic, and really motivators too. You know, this program, Canines for Clean Water, was started, you know, more than 10 years ago, and it's kind of been on autopilot. And I think it's I'm looking forward to doing and kind of reevaluating this program, because it's easy to kind of keep things on cruise control, and it really is important to really go back and make sure that, you know, you're following the right path and finding ways that you might be able to improve your program.
Nice. Well, thank you, Eric. If nobody else has any other questions, I'll move on to the staff liaison report. Real quickly, Eric, are you sitting in for the rest of this?
Do you think I should?
That's up to you.
I'm probably not. I got a few other things I want to take care of while I'm in the office here, to prepare for this meeting tomorrow. But if there's something you think I should touch base with, I'll be sure to get a hold of Alice tomorrow.
Alice, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that we're good to go. We can free you up for that. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you, guys. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, Alice, if you want to do the staff liaison report for
sure.
us.
Sure. And one of the other things I was just thinking about, before, kind of circling back to the public aspect, if you know of anybody who is interested, please feel free to let them, you know, have them contact me directly, either email or phone, probably easier email, but or you contact me and say, hey, this person's interested, and give me their phone number, and I'll get a hold of them, and I'll make sure that they have the contacts. So if you are involved with anybody or know anybody that would like to attend or have that, so the word of mouth is out there. How did it get to be November already? Can't say I'm going to happy to see 2020 in the rearview mirror, but been super busy, as you can tell with like what's going on with Eric. You know, staff's busy working on multiple grants and contracts and projects we've got going. Just they're all there. The 8 monitoring sites for the Lower Columbia Streams monitoring for the new permit are up and running, and the staff have been conducting various training on it, you know, and it all includes and maintenance and things like that. So temperature loggers, water quality, hydrology. There's 5 trend sites and 3 status sites from what they were saying. I'll get a better actually update tomorrow when we have our staff meeting. And then due to some of the visit restrictions due to the state for COVID, our local source control, which is business pollution prevention specialist, hasn't been as active and going, hasn't been able to go out and contact a lot of the businesses, but he has definitely has a lot of other jobs that he's been doing, and has been doing a lot of other work, so that hasn't been a problem, just what we wanted to have him do. But he's also going to be working with the City of Vancouver and a number of other partners to work on that. Still lots of code compliance issues. I know there's a false rumor out there that the county's closed, and we weren't closed over the summer, and that the public should make sure that they have all of their permits properly submitted for any kind of logging or excavation work. I know Scott Melville, our code compliance guy, keeps getting called out for a lot of different things, and so we've been really busy on that. The 2021 appointment process for the new Clean Water Commissioners ended. It closed today, and Brendan and Josh have indicated they want to continue, and Jeff, who is taking the night off, which is really nice because he's been super busy, has decided to only actively seek the replacement for Christie's position, who we'll miss. Right now we have four very, very strong candidates, and we'll be scheduling interviews soon. We'll be reviewing all of the applications next week and setting up interviews within the next week or two, and then hopefully should have a recommendation to the sixth floor county manager and the council by the end of the month, so that it can get on to hopefully the end of December or potentially the January 5th meeting. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make it to the December 15th meeting, but I'm going to try to get that on there. You know, appreciate everything that Christie's done, for all of her work and her valuable insight, being part of the coming back with a public health background. Really appreciate all of her health and help and enthusiasm on it the last 2 years. 6-year capital plan was officially adopted by the council yesterday. Sent that in your packet, and also had sent the 20-year planning document. So if that's something that you have any other questions or comments on, please feel free to let me know or let Jeff know about that. The Lower Columbia Estuary project is one of our partners that does a lot of education and outreach on Lake Vancouver, and the city, the county, and Port of Vancouver have a group that has for Lake that provides educational opportunities for a lot of students and for the public. And we just met with them to go over kind of some of the things that they're doing too, because obviously they're not able to meet in schools right now, and they usually in the springtime do a lot of field trips and take kids out, and they do classroom work, and then they go and they do stuff in the field, out in the field, and they take them out and do field trips out at Lake Vancouver so they can experience the area and the wildlife and the food webs and things like that. So that hasn't obviously been able to happen due to the pandemic. So they have been revamping a lot of their curriculum, and they started on it last spring, and they've gone in and they're going in and revamping some of the initial online programs that they did, and then they've also created some for the fifth graders and some for third graders that are really, really cool, and then they got a whole bunch of hands-on ones that dissecting owl pellets and all kinds of stuff, and to be able to understand the food web and what's going on, and so that's really, really cool. They are going to be able to provide some of the big canoe paddle opportunities this fall and winter if the weather's nice. I saw the weather's supposed to be nice this weekend. It's very limited. So if you were interested or your family was interested, you and let other people know. you would contact them, and I think they can take up to 6 people, and you have to be in your household bubble, and then they're able to still able to separate out and have the 6-foot for their staff member to have the 6-foot safety distance and be able to socially distance these. And a lot of people love doing it and going out, so encourage anybody that's interested to do that. And then let's see, do you guys want to continue to have the spring and fall March, April special meetings coming next year? I seriously doubt we're going to be able to have a field trip anytime soon. I mean, realistically, the earliest I foresee is maybe fall of 2021 or spring of 22. So would you guys like to continue to try and do something like that? One of the things, if we wanted to try and do more, have those being special dedicated either for projects or go in for more of the presentations and have more panel presentations and a little bit heavier that, because we haven't, our focus has been this year has been on the strategic plan, so we haven't actually done a lot with having people come in. We did in January and in March, but I haven't had a lot additional. So if anybody has any thoughts. Yes, Michelle.
Well, I just think that if we can tentatively plan do a field trip of projects in the fall,
okay,
that would be really good for everyone, because the projects will be different even for the people who've been on the commission for a while, and it will be good for the new people.
Okay.
You know, I think having the special sessions aside from field trips have been really beneficial to having those two in the year to get momentum behind stuff we're working on.
Okay.
I like the idea of having presentations and inviting people to come in. I've been thinking about Devin Rostifer, they're going to be working on a watershed plan for Burt Bridge Creek. And then I think... is it Lackamas Lake?
I think so.
I'd like to. Anyway, it'd be good to get an update from Devin.
Okay.
The other presentation I'd be interested in is, you know, more generally what's going on with Vancouver Lake and planning and partnerships around it. Update on that would be beneficial.
And that's actually, I know, one of the ones I had identified was having potentially having LSEP come in and explain about the educational and outreach opportunities and the things that they do, as well as parks and have veg management come in and talk about their the grant that they got and the plan that they've developed and kind of where that's going, because, you know, it's not necessarily stormwater, and the reason we're you know, this clean waters money is an enterprise money fund, and it's dedicated, and it can only be used for stormwater and outreach and education outreach. And so that's one of the things that we do. That was one of the things that I have on my list. I have this big long list, you know, and Pat Lee to talk about the forestry and the plans that they have of legacy lands of what they go in and how they identify property and get that, and, you know, kind of what are they looking at with that, as well as actually having what's our local source control Bob Patterson from our department come and talk about what he does for business pollution prevention. And I have about 6 or 8, and Devin was on there, and I have about 6 or 8 different people identified, as well as somebody from we had talked about some of the environmental justice aspects of it, and having somebody come in from the Clark County CCEDIG, which is our equity, diversity, inclusion group, come talk about that, or somebody from our department, from Public Works that does some of that work. So have a lot of different ideas that I have listed out of, and some of the ones that you guys had talked about doing in the past year or two. So, and then there's a few more of the staff and the different departments and clean water that to have them come in and talk. So, yes, Marie.
I find the presentations engaging, and I think the extra meetings help us carry our momentum.
Okay.
I find that very important.
Okay, great. I was hoping you would say that. Because I'd kind of like to leave the other one as being, you know, maybe we'll do a meeting or something like that with some little bit of presentations, but my thought is leaving this more as a business meeting. But that's completely up to you guys and what you want to do. And if you do, actually, I'm having to pull up my notes, so I can't see your faces, so feel free to break in, because I can't see you guys. And then Parks and Rec and Open Space Plan just sent out a notice. And if you're interested, I can send a survey to you guys about they want to get some community input on the priorities for the Parks and Recreation and their Open Space Plan. I guess they are going in and updating that. They call it their PROS plan. And they want to seek community input to direct what they want to do. There's a quick survey, and then they're going to use that to update their plan. And it'll cover things like the park system, including parks and trails, natural areas, sports fields, and other recreational opportunities that are being offered. And it's part of the, it's required every 6 years to go in and maintain this to, or update this to maintain their eligibility for the state and federal grants as part of the GMA. And since this area is growing so fast, this is a great opportunity for community members to offer their input. And so if you would like, I can send you a copy of the survey and feel free to disperse that out to whomever you would like, if that's something you would be interested in.
I yeah, see that heads. Sounds great.
Okay. And then, let's see, what else do I have? That's actually it for me on the report. Just, the department's been super busy. And moving along with Jeff, we'll probably have him for at least another till the early part of the year, and then they'll see what they're going to do for him as being the interim. But we're moving along really well.
Thank you, Alice. Mm-hmm. Moving into working groups, Michelle, do you want to take research?
Yeah, I have no updates.
I know I sent a copy to you and Alice of the write-up summary from what we've been working on this summer. I don't know that I would have only included two of you. I don't think I sent that out to the whole crew, but did we want to follow up on any type of summary of that to the rest of the commission, to the board here? Do we want to do that in our next one, or do we kind of...
I think that you sent it out, and then I had a couple comments, and then I think Alice might have sent it to the group right before our last meet.
I want to say I did send it out.
Alice,
you're on mute.
Thank you. I want to say I did send it out. I do have it. I can screen share, potentially, if you want to review it now or if you want to review it at the next meeting.
Well, if other folks did have an opportunity to see it, I mean, I guess my only question was, I just wanted to share kind of what we gathered from doing it as far as just kind of input, insight to the rest of the commission for times when we're talking with organizations that are working in the county. And so I didn't know if folks had time to read it and kind of digest that with any questions they had from it, or if we wanted to kind of
present that or just send it out and we can talk about it next time. Did anybody else end up seeing it?
I did, Brendan. I remember reading it. I thought it was pretty good.
Okay. I remember looking at it. It would be helpful to step through it, I think.
Okay. Well, if we don't have any objections to that, if everybody's read it, then let's take the time to do that. We can mark this one off this evening so we're not dealing with it at the end of the year. My take on this, kind of summarizing the information, for those that recall, really kind of what galvanized doing this research was spurred on when the conservation district had approached the council about potentially opening up a revenue source that's written somewhat within the property tax code, but requires approval from the council. So it would be an increase in fee on the property owners in the county, but then it opens up these funds to the conservation district to do their work. And it was rejected by the council at the time. And just being interested as far as the conversation around what organizations are doing work, what funds are out there for people, and how it really affects their work. I mean, obviously everybody would like to have a bigger budget for doing their programs and their operations, but lots of times you'll end up hearing that, and these are, some of these are, you know, not verbatim, but from what I recall, comments that were made by the council at the time, you know, lots of organizations working on the same thing. Where is there overlap? Where is there room for cooperation? You know, what are people already paying into? You know, what are we asking citizens to contribute more money to, and what's the payoff that they get for it? I know Sue is at that council meeting and followed that pretty well too. So you may recall some of that as well from what they were kind of pitching back as their reasons for not going forward with it. A lot of politics involved in that. But what we wanted to try to do was say, okay, well, let's do a survey of a fair amount of the nonprofits working in the county that we can think of that do work related to surface water. And where is there actually overlap? And where is the funding actually coming from? And how does that affect their operation? And at least from my summary looking through this and kind of what we were getting as I was pulling in the research from other members of the group and the conversations I was having as well with some of the organizations in the county, there were two main areas that people were working in. One is salmonid habitat or restoration protection, which is primarily focused on salmon, and the other dealing somewhat in a way with stormwater runoff, usually a lot more with like public awareness, public education, just trying to increase people's awareness of their day-to-day impact. And, you know, try to get more citizens on board with that. And then that often is, you know, combined with tree planting events or, you know, grants for property restoration, small grants that organizations can help channel to property owners. There seem to be kind of two categories as far as funding was concerned. So there are some of them, like the Lower Columbia Fishery Enhancement Group, for example, where their funding is tied to a particular source. So for them, they get a portion of the funds that come out of recreational sports fishing fees, and so they have a stable budget that's coming to them for their work. They have a small staff. They're able to target the projects that they want and go forward with that. The Watershed Alliance, for example, at this time is still funded to a good degree by the city of Vancouver, and that allows them to maintain a lot of their internal operations. So organizations that don't have that going on are constantly playing a campaign game to keep enough funds coming in through grants to just kind of keep their operations. And I would make that synonymous or analogous to something that I think a lot of people see as a problem when, like, you know, somebody gets elected to a position to do a job, but then they pretty much spend most of the time in that job campaigning to get funds to get reelected. So non-profits sometimes find themselves in this boat too, where you're just constantly working to raise funds so that you can raise more funds to maintain the operation. One thing that I didn't dig into too much, but this has been a question that comes up to me lots of times when the rebuttal to groups asking for money is, well, you know, you found partnerships, have you found other groups that you can cooperate with? Well, I think that's really good for the on-the-ground execution.
a lot of these organizations still have staff members that get paid, and you have to have enough of a budget to do that. So if you're all trying to split the small pool of funding that's out there, there's actually a little bit of lip service cooperation, but then an actual limit to how much you're going to want to divide that pie up. And then as far as the grants, one of the big issues that comes up with those, and this is something I've seen in my work as well in the field where we end up helping implement grant projects for clients that are more in the business of coordinating these projects. But the grants often come with dictates about how the money has to be spent. So often it's not so much that we're able, and by we, I mean the community as a whole, or these organizations are able to say, okay, here's a specific issue in our area, and here's how we'd like to address it, and now let's go get funding for it. Sometimes the grants will have a little bit more of a dictate to what you have to do. And so you're looking for grants, and then you find them and think, okay, well, this is something we can apply to our community. Let's try to use this and do it within the parameters. And sometimes those grant dictates aren't a huge impact, but other times they can be not the most efficient. Very small detail, but anecdotally I can speak to the fact that I've done lots of planting projects where the grant says, you know, these plants need to be in the ground by, like, September 10th. And as a company that works on planting, September 10th might still be warm. It might be a while till the rains come in. You know, we're sitting there looking at it like, well, you're going to get what's going on. So projects sometimes are not really connected with the realities on the ground. But, you know, the organizations were just saying that, you know, grants are great, but sometimes there's a limitation because they can dictate how the money has to be spent. And sometimes it's not how you want to. Reading through my own notes here, you know, I think as far as our part in talking with nonprofits, I thought this would be good information just to know kind of the realities of what they're dealing with. One thing I'd be interested in moving forward here, in my mind at least, there's some type of like amorphous entity out there that creates the grants. And I would love to see some type of communication coming from the ground up to granting agencies and organizations relaying a little bit of that message. To try to find better cooperation between funders and executors so that projects are more specific to the areas they're going to. And I will say that while most people I talked to were really happy about when they have had opportunities to work with the county, specifically Clean Water Program, they have had good feedback about that. But there seems to be a fair amount of limit to that. It seems that Clean Water and the county does its thing, and then these organizations are doing their thing. And there's not a lot of cooperation overlap in that. So as far as trying to find partnerships or cooperation on things, that might be one thing to encourage, you know, from the county level. It seems that there wasn't as much of that, or at least there wasn't an impression of that for a lot of the folks that were working in these projects that I talked to, at least from the county's level. Somewhat different cities in the county, but not the county itself. So, yeah, that's me rambling for a while.
I have a question. Brandon, do you have a list of the organizations that you talked to in compiling this?
I have some of them listed off on the front here, which I shouldn't have done a job of.
There's a list of about 8 or 6, something like that, at the very beginning.
Okay.
Yeah. Some gave us a lot more information than others. And for the sake of, you know, people politics, I kind of mixed a lot of the information together so it didn't necessarily point anybody out of having a real strong opinion one way or another on something.
Well, I think the land trust is, you know, sort of one example, the Columbia Land Trust. And we talked with them, you know, met with them. And the main, the backyard habitat certification program was the primary one where we viewed both as ways to collaborate. And so that can have more discussion in the future.
Yeah, I think they've actually done a great job in the collaborations on that with Audubon Society. And then I was really happy to see them bridge across the river from how much they've been doing in Portland area to bring that to Clark County. So they definitely have a good model going with that.
Yeah.
All right. Can you guys hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Yes, I know one of the things that Clean Water has been working with Backyard Habitat, and so like Lisa, we've been working on getting something done with them for like the last 2 years, and I know there's some stuff that's going through the signatory process right now, and I know when they were starting this and they were getting the list and seeing if people were interested. Because of course, one of the challenges is the county can only do things, you know, we have to look at it as being outside the city limits. And I know that they were really focusing a lot of the things that were in the city limits. And so, but I know that there was like 50 slots and they were taken like that. And they've had a lot of, and I know that they've had even more since then. And I don't know now with the pandemic in the last 6, 8, 9 months, how that's changed. But I know that we're working forward and moving forward on doing some partnerships with them to help promote that program and to make that program go forward. It's something I know that Eric and Andrea have been working on.
I know one of the things is that the size of the property is smaller, the size limit. So while there may be some great opportunities in Clark County, many of the properties were larger than what they would, you know, that meet their criteria. So,
and they have to be a certain, then they have to be a certain distance away from the water source. And that was also another issue too, I know, on some of them.
Chrissy helped with that too. I know she's not here tonight, but she was a good help with that.
Do you want to, as a board, do anything to officially recognize it, or anything, any action that you want to take on this? Or
that reminds me too. I was thinking about boiling this down into a much smaller summary piece to potentially put in the annual report, if that was of interest to the rest of the board.
I think that would be a good idea.
Okay. Yeah, and outside of that, I don't know if we really need to, do we need to officially archive it at all? Just hold on to it, and I'll summarize something to put into the annual report, and I think that'll be
okay.
A great portrayal. Okay. Marie, do you have anything for outreach?
Not at this time. Just need to work on our action plan for 2021.
Right on. And Michelle for partnerships?
Well, we tried to get together, sent out an email with some times, never got any response, and Alice followed up with an email as well. So I guess, you know, there's a question of whether the people in partnerships think there's any value of working forward in the COVID environment or what the challenge might be.
I'm just upset because this is the second time that emails have been sent out that I haven't gotten.
There was something the week of, I think Michelle's went out the week of the 2nd for dates the week of the 19th and 26th. And then I think, it was something of the week of the 12th. And then I sent something out, probably the 22nd or 26th, maybe 27th, because there were a few dates. Date and times available on the 28th through the 30th.
Okay.
I think I have to admit that I'm not a regular checker on the Gmail account, so I'll pledge to be better at that.
And if those other emails you're referring to, Alice, are specific to the partnerships group, I don't necessarily see them. I got the one on the 26th from Michelle mentioning that there wasn't much feedback.
Right, because they went just only to the partnership group.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, what we wanted to do was to look at the mission and mandate, and we can... You know, I think it's still possible to do meetings like this, virtual meetings with potential partners. And we actually have some additional, you know, basis for it, given this report we just reviewed. So, you know, we can try again between now and January.
Yeah, I'm happy to meet. I don't know how that email can come across. I mean, most of my emails in the Gmail are red. It's just strange. Anyway, I'm definitely happy to meet and talk about, you know, way forward for the group.
Okay. So, Josh, did you get the emails? Not hearing anything.
Which particular emails? I've gotten a bunch.
Well, the email specific to the partnerships group, from the Gmail account.
Yeah.
Okay.
The one that Ella sent out. Yeah, I got it.
Okay. All right, and I had sent out one earlier. Well, what's an easier way to schedule this for everybody? Is there an easier way?
Is it doing a phone tree to arrange a time?
Maybe call everybody. Alice, maybe you need to do that. I'll send you some dates and you can call people. We'll try to get something done before the January meeting.
Or I can call and say, read your email.
Yeah.
I swear.
And I was thinking the other day, just, you know, over here as chair, I was going to encourage the rest of the board, even those outside of partnerships and outreach, to be thinking, you know, as you're going through your day, if you have ideas about, you know, we've been talking about kind of feeling hindered with the era of COVID on how you do outreach and partnerships, but, you know, it's all the room to innovate, you know, and come up with stuff. And Michelle, you just mentioned you still have video conferences with a lot of partnerships opportunities. So I think just, you know, motivating ourselves to kind of reinvent the wheel on that. And I feel like a lot of that, you know, this is a volunteer thing for all of us. And with our day jobs and home life has been readjusted this year too. But as we get all that calibrated, are used to it, trying to find ways to do something. Because I would think it would be unfortunate to have both of those working groups just be on hold until we're all out face-to-face again. So I haven't come up with a good solution yet. It's crossed my mind as a to-do to think of as well. So if anybody else thinks of anything, I would say, you know, send it on to Michelle and Alice and so it can get shared with the group and we're not just in a meeting setting.
I think it'd be a good to just have a meeting to brainstorm kinds of things that we can do at this point. Partnerships.
Yeah, I'm not totally familiar right now with what the agenda for our next meeting is going to be. I know the end of the year always seems a little hectic, but if we had time to make that a line item, that would definitely be something I would think would be good as far as going into 2021. You know, assuming that 2021 is going to be somewhat similar to how 2020 has been, that would be a great discussion for us to have.
If you would like, I can send out some dates, or Michelle Gertz can get back to me on some potential dates, and we can send them out, and or anybody can send me what your availability is through the end of the year for and then I can potentially schedule some times so we can brainstorm, because I know everybody's times are busy.
Yeah, or was that a question, Sue, was that for a meeting like this?
It could be a committee meeting, but I think just off the top of my head this moment, I'm feeling like, I don't feel very creative, but I think if a few of us just threw out a bunch of ideas to who are the strategic partners we want to figure out how to collaborate with, that would be helpful.
Yeah, and we've got a list.
I know, there was a long list.
Yeah, and that we prioritize them. But Alice, why don't you and I'll put our things together.
And I know on some of them when I'm coordinating some meetings where there's lots of different people with lots of different availabilities, sometimes it's just easiest just to send me and I can sort through like, okay, these people are, available these times and be able to pick out whatever. So Michelle Kurtz and I will figure something out and get back to everybody. So please look at your emails over the next week or two. And we'll get something scheduled for a partnership brainstorming session.
I'll try and think of put my thinking cap on.
And then what I remember off the top of my head for January 6th meeting will be introduction, kind of the basics of OPMA, review, going over the annual report and approving the annual report so we can then present it to get on to the council schedule for a work session to present to them. Let's see, what else do we have? There is usually, hopefully, a review of the stormwater management plan that Rod produces, and I help with that. And we try to have that done so you guys can look at that and have comments on the first. And it seems like there's a number of other kind of business type items that happen. It seems to be a rather full meeting that month. The January meeting.
I feel like that's usually a long one.
Yeah. I know I usually don't let anybody present anything. I usually do not get a presenter for that meeting because it's usually going two and a half hours, seems like. But that's what I remember off the top of my head for, like, the January.
All right. We all see some momentum back
here. I want to throw something in.
Yeah.
So, Alice, Matthew and I should probably meet with Eric virtually and discuss some what we can do for outreach.
Okay.
In that same vein of getting together before the end of the year would be good.
Okay. We can set something up.
We're done with working groups. We have the timely topic of elections. 2021 chair and vice chair. And Alice, if you remember the technicalities of how to go about this.
Sure.
People just start claiming victory, right?
That's all right. That's all right. I'm going to nominate.
Okay.
I think you'll open up the chair position for nominations. I'll have nominations. Close it. Discussion. People can obviously accept or say no. And of whether or not they would be accepting of the nomination. And then after nominations are closed, you would vote on the chair position. And then after that's finished, open up vice chair nominations, acceptances of whether or not you'd be willing to do it, and then if you want to give a, you could do a candidate statement this is what I'm going to provide for the Clean Water Commission. There will be chocolate brownies every single Friday at the cafeteria. And then close it and vote. And then this will be effective. And this will be effective starting the January.
Okay. Well, let's open it up then for volunteers or nominations.
Oh, I guess there would need to be a second as well.
Is anyone interested in volunteering? All right.
Was that a hesitant volunteer out there?
Who's going to be voluntold?
I'm politely abstaining for a moment.
I think you would do good for a second year. Sometimes it's nice to do a couple of years in a row.
I agree. I think that's a good idea.
I nominate Brendan for another term.
I'd second that.
Second, yeah.
Alrighty, well, I would be more than happy to do a second year of it. I definitely want to leave it open to anybody else that wanted to give it a shot there, but 2020 leaves you feeling like you still have some other stuff to do, so I'd be happy to give it another year.
Great.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Alright, motion carries. Thank you all. My acceptance speech would just be asking that if anybody has any thoughts or recommendations on stuff throughout the year, you know, reach out, doing the communication regularly. Let me know. Now we need a vice chair.
And Christy is not available.
Any volunteers? Anybody interested in giving that a run? As the chair, I'm abstaining from nominating anybody, so you guys, you gotta do that one.
You can nominate yourself.
Well, I'll nominate. I don't mind doing it if no one else wants to step in.
I would nominate Marie for vice chair.
I'll second that.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, motion carries. Marie Lamont, the vice chair.
Thank you, too.
Thank you. Looking forward to working with you again. All right. Next item we have is review the strategic plan draft and hopefully an adoption vote this evening. So Alice ended up attaching what is optimistically a final draft. There were, I think last time we talked as a whole group, we'd moved through items, the bulk of it, the mission and vision, items 1 and 2, and or maybe item 1, and then what we had left here was item 2, the yearly objectives guide, and the action plan piece here. These kind of play together with each other. And these are largely just kind of steering guidelines for us. So if you haven't had a moment to read these, please do. And if anybody's got any feedback, let's discuss this before passing it.
Does anybody need me to share the screen? Or do you have it all available?
I've got it myself.
Okay.
So, Brendan, as a question, I just want to make sure I'm looking at the right document and understanding correctly. The objectives, we would set the objectives every year at a meeting, is that?
Yeah, so skipping down to number 3 there, The commission will target to set yearly objectives to director focus. So, I think there's kind of like the idea behind, you know, a New Year's resolution, if you will, about like this is what we want to try to achieve. I don't think there's anything dictating necessarily that if, you know, anytime throughout the year we change course on something or finish something out that we're just like done. But then you kind of skip back up to number two there, and the SMART criteria, which was in the initial draft, and we kind of just kind of use this as kind of that guideline to go back to think like, okay, well, let's match our objective with each of these to be productive.
I have nitpicks on the long term goals. They're nothing major. The second item on it, you have advance and then serving instead of like advance and serve. You know, everything is advance, provide, identify, and then in that second item, they're serving as community liaisons. I feel like it should be serve as community liaisons. And then the last item under long-term goals, you have advice staff instead of advise staff. Those are my nitpicks.
That's a good nitpick. So under long-term goals on the second bullet there, you're kind of cut out that first part there and just go serving as community.
Well, no, I mean, I think advanced public outreach is fine. It's just advanced public outreach and serving. And I think it should be and served as.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah.
And then I think there's another one on the next bullet.
I have a comment.
And the funding.
Instead of advice.
Okay.
Yeah,
I made that
edit too.
Yes, Sue?
You were saying, Sue?
Oh, I had a comment on item one here under threats. So it says threats, and it's changing regulatory environment, and then it says public opinion / awareness. So wouldn't it be the lack of public awareness is the threat? It wouldn't be public. I'm not sure what the threat is of public opinion. If there's another way to say that.
The threat of public opinion itself?
Yeah, is that a threat?
I would see that it could be.
Depends on the opinion.
It does depend on the opinion.
So,
it would be the lack of awareness would be the threat.
Yeah.
If there was threat.
I think the lack of things specifically applies to awareness.
Okay.
I don't think there's ever a lack of public opinion. how the opinion leans, but I see where Sue's coming from with the lack on the awareness. Public opinion.
I think the public opinion, it could be negative public opinion, could be a threat.
If we specified that.
But public opinion might be a problem because there's a lack of awareness. So it might be just drop public opinion.
Yeah, that might be a good idea, especially if we haven't had any actual threatening public opinions to date.
I don't think under our current tenure we have, but I think if one goes through the history of the board, there have been a few voices that... it's kind of hard to quantify that, though, because that's their opinion versus what our current board opinion would be in general. There's a little bit of a consensus right now about what this organization does, and I don't think that's always been agreed upon, and that would kind of be, I think, the thinking behind that. I do think it's funny the way it reads, public opinion and awareness, because you could almost imply that it's like, if people knew about us, that's a threat.
it might be lack of awareness. Like I said, I can definitely see where Sue's coming from with the lack of.
Do you want to have it be lack of awareness / public opinion, or just completely take out public opinion?
lack of awareness or, you know, negative public opinion. I thought that the important part of keeping that is because the reality could be that you could get a, not even a majority, you could just get a vocal minority of the public that had a negative opinion about the organization and county time and money being spent on it and say, do away with this. That would obviously be a threat.
I think it's important to acknowledge the possibility of that.
Okay, so maybe we just put lack of awareness, comma, negative public opinion.
Separate them.
Yeah, just separate them and both there. But awareness first, just because it's a person.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so we made those changes under threat and SWOT analysis. I added both the changes that Justin recommended there to the long-term goals. Circling back, Matthew, did you have a change recommendation, or it was just a question about the objective?
No, it was. Thank you. It was just more of a question, and I guess just sort of the comment. It's a question and a comment rolled together that, you know, if we have these long-term goals and we set them yearly, or these objectives, excuse me, that I just tend to, it's easy to forget those and never really set any objectives. Just food for thought, I guess.
You think that like has to be that large of a timeline? If they're yearly.
Well, no, I think yearly objectives are great, but I think there just has to be some sort of implementation plan. You know, I hate to create more work, but just, I mean, even if we have a get together or a time at one of our meetings just to discuss whether we're going to have any to begin with and what those might be. Otherwise, just sort of always go on the back burner.
That could
be this unique group where that does not happen.
That could be something easily that you work on in the January meeting. And
yeah.
Do you want to have something in there on that initial statement on the yearly objectives guide where you talk about setting yearly objectives to direct your energies and focus in the execution of our mission and long-term goals?
An annual action plan line item. I think that would be good.
There or under the yearly objective guide?
Yeah. Did you have some?
I wonder if people want to submit some potential yearly objectives, and we could compile a list that focus our discussion at the next meeting.
Yeah, on that, I was thinking, based on what Alice was saying a second ago, with the agenda already for January, if it would be easier. Okay, so if we could, I think that would be great to do to kick off the new year. And if people, in the meantime, do as Sue was mentioning, kind of bring that to the table for our conversations.
And maybe if a couple of the committees are going to meet before the end of the year, that's something they could talk about in those committee meetings.
Yeah.
And I would suggest that you plan on submitting have a deadline on the time-based aspect of your SMART objective for this. You set a timeline of like December 15th that you will have those to me, or by the 18th that you have those to me, so that I can compile them and get them out, because I'll be off the week of Christmas most of it, and so that way I can have it. If you get it to me by the 15th, 16th, then I can work on it and get it out before
15th of December.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go with that then.
Can you summarize exactly what it is that you're looking for?
Because everybody was talking about brainstorming ideas for the yearly objectives and action plans to be able to start working on the long-term goals and mission statement?
Yeah, I think, you know, any ideas of stuff that people say, hey, you know, let's look at going after this next year and setting some achievable targets.
Instead of trying to brainstorm at the meeting in January, it's obviously a lot easier to do it if you already have something in front of you.
If we're keeping the numbering document, there's two number ones.
Okay.
The SWOT analysis and the long-term goals are both number one.
So long-term goals should be two.
Yeah. And then, you know, likewise, yearly objectives, and then the last part.
I thought there was four originally, and I was confused, so thank you.
Yeah, I did two, and I was like, what is missing here? And I scrolled up and realized they're both number one.
Something that got lost in the mix there when we were talking about...
Or cutting and pasting.
Sorry, I'll let you finish that.
Okay, go ahead.
Were we talking about adding some verbiage to the number three there that was more specific about that we would set that yearly objective at the January meeting? Do we want to include that in there? Or are we good just saying that we'll commission targets, you know, is to set a yearly objective?
You could have it be the first quarter. That way, or if you wanted to be able to have a secondary, and maybe that's where your spring meeting is, and you have it in January, February, almost like a retreat.
Well, I guess I'm just kind of thinking, like, looking at this, we feel that the wording right now is enough to keep us on target to set that yearly objective, or do we want to specify that, you know, this is always going to be a meeting item at the January meeting? Any thoughts on that from folks?
Well, I think if you do say first quarter, that gives you a little leeway in case you miss your deadline.
True.
Yeah, I think having a little leeway, if we have new members coming on, it gives them an opportunity to get a little more familiar with what's going on and be able to have more input into the objectives.
That's true.
So do we want to add, it's the commission's target to set yearly objectives in the first quarter of each year to direct our energies and focuses.
Yeah.
That's not to say it couldn't be January. There's only 12 months. You can just read away the first year.
And I did follow kind of what Matt had been saying, and having it not only be the focus of the execution of our mission, but I added long-term goals so that you're setting your objectives to meet, not only to start chunking away at your long-term goals of how to, so you'll have your, to meet the mission and long-term goals. Unless you hate that.
No, that makes sense.
Sounds good.
I'm trying to decide if there's an extra comma in here. It's got me just tripping me up as I'm reading the sentence. While action plan targets are completed, comma, throughout the year. I feel like that first comma can go away. While action plan targets are completed throughout the year, comma, it's just, I don't know, the first comma is just tripping me up as I'm reading it.
No.
I don't know if that's happening to anybody else. It may not matter.
I would probably to eliminate that extra comma.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it reads better without it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
should it actually be when the action plan targets are completed throughout the year instead of while?
Another nitpick, sorry. It's a valuable skill that you bring
to the
table.
Yes.
You were an English teacher in your past life.
It's definitely the type of stuff I miss.
So, do you want to keep the while, or do you want to change that to when?
I just don't mute it, Alice.
Pardon? Oh, sorry.
No.
I was saying, do you want to, on the while action plan, targets are completed throughout the year, shouldn't that be when action plan targets are completed?
Or as, maybe.
Okay, as.
As we complete them, we'll revisit the guides for, yeah.
Okay. So, I have action, as action plan targets are completed. Unless anybody has an objection.
That sounds good.
Looks good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Shall I make a motion to adopt the strategic plan as edited? I am making a motion to adopt.
I'm making that motion.
Second. All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed? All right, motion passes. Strategic plan is edited.
Congratulations.
Yay.
Yay.
Thank you all. And thank you, Marie. You really brought this to the table under your own leadership, and I think this is really good to help those of us who are here and future board members moving forward. So thank you for that. Okay. So next we've got the line item of the annual report, and I need to do some legwork on starting to edit this out for submitting this year.
I started working on it some, but it definitely needs some more work. If you want to I think I'm trying to decide if the easiest is to do a comments, or if you want to email and just highlight or put things in red, you know, into your strike-throughs with it and submit any changes or additions, and I can try and compile them.
Can you give us a deadline for that? I think that would be a good approach.
I would say that one should be December 1st.
December 1st.
Because that'll give
you... We want to have it completed by then.
You should try to have as much done and completed so I can finish doing the editing. I know the last 2 years when I've worked on it, Marie and I have been spending a lot of time in December getting it whipped into shape. And I know I've got the stormwater management plan also I have to do in that time period.
Do enough time, though, if we make submissions
yeah.
by the first and then
yeah.
the rest of the budget.
Yeah.
Okay.
If everybody, and even if you want to send ahead of time and you want to send me your edits, I can get them in. You know, in the calendar, because the way, and you don't have to worry about the meeting agenda items, because I'll go in and put those in. That's just off of the, or if you wanted to do it, it's just off of the, what we have on our agenda for each meeting. And then if there are anything in the activities, which obviously with COVID this year, there hasn't been especially a lot of the education and outreach activities. But also as you can put in, let me know if you did any education outreach continuing education classes or credits either you taught or you took, because those all would count, and we can put those in as being active and involved in increasing your knowledge. And then, because I think the big parts are going to be working on what your goals will be, because I think there's an action plan aspect of it, and maybe that's something you want to talk about now, that kind of where you want to maybe go, or if you wanted to try, and that's something we try and parse out ahead of time, and then everybody does a lot of really hardcore editing in December, and hopefully maybe have a little bit of discussion and editing if needed in the January meeting to make sure that we have the annual report down the way we want it, especially on the recommendations and the action plans and the goals, because that'll it's going to be different than what we've had in the past. And because one of the things that we'll need to do is, you know, what are we looking at doing for 2021? You know, everything will be, you know, this is what we did in 2020, but there's a section in there of what we did in 21. And I can definitely, you don't have to worry about doing the meeting attendance or the percentages and all that stuff.
Well, that's one of the yearly objectives. If we had our yearly objectives figured out, seems like that would be what we, that would be included for our action.
And I think we know what one of the biggest challenges was for 2020 is the lack of being able to meet.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think the report has to be as lengthy as past. Given a year, you could probably
include
it.
And I think
already, so just add the current stuff in our action plan.
And I think the big aspect is that, and I think you should highlight it, we need to highlight the fact that you created a strategic plan and a mission and a vision and values and did all of that, and that's a lot of, you know, that was a huge part. It's been a year and a half that the commission's been working on it, and you know, we dedicated at least 3 full meetings pretty much this year on it, so it, you know, it's a big accomplishment.
Agreed.
If everybody wants to make sure, we definitely have the, it'll be important to have the brainstormed objectives, ideas by the 15th.
And the annual report stuff by the 1st.
Mm-hmm. And I'll send out reminders. I may ever call everybody the week of Thanksgiving and say, hey, when you're in that turkey coma and you have nothing and you can't do anything, go sit on the couch and review the strategic plan or the action plan and the annual report.
Oh, and then I think last year we had folks submit photos, so if anybody had mm-hmm. any good photos from around the county, send those to pretty it up.
And if
I'm actually looking for pictures right now so that I don't forget it.
Because I do like to try and include ones that you guys have taken, and also ones, especially Clark County watersheds, and I like to try and have things a little different than every, you know, each year. Otherwise, it gets a little stale.
You can take a picture of us on this screen. That way I won't be
the
Well, okay, WebEx screenshot.
There you go.
All right. Well, I think we can move into any other general discussion that we have or news that anybody's got. I did, in keeping with ongoing education, attend a video seminar the other week for, it was Sam and Safe out of Seattle, and put it together, and they had a couple of different speakers. A lot of interesting information and good speakers. I was particularly taken with one of the guys that was talking about different architectural design ideas and one of the big takeaways. And he was much better at describing this than I'm going to right now, but he was talking about how architectural design, water is still treated as kind of like this, you know, outside element that you just need to kind of deal with, just kind of get around it for your built environment versus incorporating it at all or building the structural environment integrated in with the natural environment, particularly with the hydrological. And there was these really cool concepts of building designs that would take in the rainwater and use it in all different types of various ways that were beneficial, either to the building's function or people nearby or land nearby. So some really interesting concepts with that. So good to see the blueprints out there in the world. And I think that they were going to email that presentation, so that might actually be something I can forward. I'm not sure if it's something I'll be able to share.
Thanks.
All right. Anyone opposed to adjourning? All right. Well, thank you all. And I think we got a couple of holidays between now and when we talk again, so have a good holiday season. And I will move to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you. Good to see everybody.
Thank you. It's good seeing everybody.
Thanks, Alice.
Thank you.